Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk, live here from the WHAM studios in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And it is November 20th, and we are, we're going to talk about all sorts of things today. We're going to talk about the big elephant in the room, which is the Rittenhouse trial, get some opinions on that. We'll talk about gun shows. We'll talk about some interesting trends in pistols that I'm seeing that I kind of like. It reminds me of the old days. And other things too. Maybe a little politics. Can't escape that. So let's talk about the first things. First of all, gun shows in Michigan. We've got the Lansing Mason Gun Show, which is only about 45 minutes from here. And it's a good one. It's up at the Ingham County Fairgrounds. I always like that one. I haven't been there this year yet. I'll have to watch for it, maybe catch one in December or something. Verified State Line Gun Show. This one, actually, we share with Ohio, Montpelier, Ohio, the Williams County Fairgrounds. In Ohio, we've got the Smithville Gun Show in Smithville, the Cleveland Berea Gun Show in Berea, Ohio, and again, the State Line Gun Show in Montpelier. Missouri's got the Callaway County Gun Show in Fulton, Missouri, and the Xander three-day gun show at Washington County Fairgrounds in Fayetteville, Arkansas, another state line one. And there's no shows in New York until December 4th. So let's see, we're sitting at 764,806 CPLs. And so I want to mention some things coming up. Let's see. First of all, remember that this week is starting the pre-Black Friday sale where Bill Kahn is going to be out at Ann Arbor Arms. So you want to go out and see Bill, good friend of the station, good friend of Theron and myself and others here. And we're just happy to promote for him because he is... he does holsters. Remember, he had the Mule Skinner Boot Shop out in Chelsea, and he closed that last year, but he continues to make gun stuff, so that's pretty cool. So go on out and see Bill. He's there today and tomorrow, and he's going to be there, I think, till 7 tonight or something like that. So he's got some kind of booth set up, and he'll have I was talking to him this week, he called, and I'm actually wearing one of his belts again today. So I like his gun belts. They're made out of real good bridle leather, just really good stuff. Let's see. Hopefully, if you haven't been out yet, now remember, today's the 20th, so we've had 5 days of firearm season, okay? And hopefully you went out and sighted in your rifles or shotguns before deer season because, you know, things can change. You may have, and it could be any number of reasons, but things can change. Maybe you're using different ammo this year. You know, there's so much different ammo, and every bit of ammo, unless you're hand loading it yourself and are super, super careful with your loads and things like that, all of it can be slightly different. Just because you're getting one box of let's say, something more rudimentary like Remington Core-Lokt or something like that, one box may be different from another box. So you need to at least sight in for each type of ammo that you have. And even every lot is a good idea. You know, because let's say you're shooting a .30-06. Well, a .30-06 150 grain Core-Lokt is not going to shoot to the same point of aim as a Winchester XP. Okay, so you gotta do it with the ammo that you're going to use. Okay, and there are so many premium ones. Now, when you get to the better ammos, the high end Black Hills or some of the ones that are branded Nugent ammo, Ted Nugent ammo. I've got a box of that. Hornady, some of the real top-end stuff with the real good bullets. They tend to be more precise. And the point is that they are much more precise in their metering of their their powders and things like that. So you have a better chance of them shooting to a similar point of aim, at least, okay? I mean, if you get an inch at 100 yards, that's called 1 minute of angle. That's pretty good for most of what you're going to do, okay? If you are a long-range shooter, you want to be better than that. If you're shooting out at 400 yards or so, 400, 500, even 600 yards, you've got to be relatively positive what's going on, not only with your ammo, but things that can matter include wind and temperature and stuff like that. So you want to that's like sighting in. If you're sighting in your rifle and it's 75 degrees and then you go out and you shoot and it's 20 degrees out when you're hunting deer, then maybe you might have a little bit different performance, because not all ammo is – not all propellants are temperature stable. I actually had some ammo – gosh, it was called Outback Ammo from Australia. Still have it, actually. 400 rounds of it that was purported to be, and it was supposed to be very temperature stable from below zero to 105 degrees or something like that, so that you don't have to worry about the temperature of the propellant affecting the burn and the pressures in your chamber, and then ultimately the point of aim. So speaking of hand loading, I did get my 2 pounds of Hodgson Little Gun from Detroit Ammo Company. Came just as promised. So I'm anxious to get going on. I'm working up some loads on that for my 50 Beowulf, which I picked up some new projectiles for it. A Sierra 350 grain jacketed hollow points and some Hornady FTXs. Those are the ones with the soft initiator in the end, and they're in 300 grain. They're 50 caliber, and I can't wait to work up some loads with those and try them out. Because what I've been using, and what I'm actually loaded with right now for hunting, is the 50 Beowulf with a 400 grain soft point and a flat soft point, like a jacketed soft point. And it was extremely effective last year. It expanded from the half inch that it normally is at 50 caliber to an inch and a quarter. That's pretty amazing. I mean, it looked like a huge mushroom. So I'm thinking maybe I'm doing a little overkill. Nah, no, there's no such thing as overkill. Well, it could be if you were hitting. If you didn't have a nice clean shot, my doe last year was like a perfect in between the ribs, took the top of the heart off. It was just perfect. And the thing ran 10 feet and boom, dead. But I didn't get the projectile back on that, cause that was a through and through. So, that's the other thing, is that, if you've got a lot of energy, you might just be going straight through. So anyway, so Detroit Ammo Company, I did get what I needed. Let's see. I do want to continue with a discussion that started a good set of calls last week, and that is, what gun were you most excited to try or buy that turned out to be a disappointment? And I listed a few of mine. Some of them were not a big disappointment. Some of them were just kind of like, I mean, a Glock 17, eh. I got rid of the 26 too, because it seemed it was a little small, and the capacity was only 10 rounds. And although nowadays you can get some other magazines that'll hold 15, but in the normal space, but it was just eh. You know, I have other guns that I like. I'm actually working on getting another one. I will have to. I'll fill you in on it when that transaction takes place. So that'll be fun. It's a pistol caliber carbine, so that's a little hint there. But I'll probably know more about that in a week. Okay, well, Not next week. No, December 4th. Yeah, by December 4th, I would probably have it. So at any rate, let's see. Well, so give me a call. And we had some interesting calls last week that were from gun owners that were, I want to say, initially disappointed. There's something like not quite right with it. We had a gentleman with an AR-10 that was sticking, his rounds were sticking in the chamber and not extracting. And then also we had, I think it was Tom from Detroit, was talking about some savages that he had to put some better firing pin springs in to be able to you know, get a surefire hit on the primers. So that's where something was initially a little disappointing and hopefully turned out to be good. So I'd like to hear from you on those. Those make for fun calls to hear. I mean, you know, it could be something you bought really weird, like, I bought a Lorraine 25 automatic and it won't shoot through a paper bag. Well, that's true. Okay, that's what you get. Or a Raven or something like that, that, you know, it's like, oh my God, these are such crappy guns. But then it also can be one that's surprising. I mentioned that Theron had a Sig Mosquito that, you know, on paper sounded like an outstanding gun, but then it turned out to be a piece of crap. So, and that's unusual for a Sig. So let's see. Joe Biden was angry and concerned by the Rittenhouse jury verdict and calls for peaceful protests. Really? The president's calling. Then later on, he goes on and goes, well, I agree with what the jury says, but, you know, we have to agree with the jury. But, you know, it's I was disappointed, you know. Well, you know, and he says, while the verdict in Kenosha will leave many Americans feeling angry and concerned, myself included, we must acknowledge the jury has spoken. Actually, I think that there's probably more than half of the people out there. And actually, even the ones I saw today, a headline where Cuomo from, what's his name? They call him Frito? No. Is it Frito? No. What's the one that's on CNN? He actually goes, I agree with the verdict because you would like, under those circumstances, you would want any defendant to be acquitted because whether they're black, white, purple, I don't care. And, you know, that's the thing that the people are trying to make out of this whole thing, and this really pisses me off, is calling Kyle Rittenhouse a white supremacist, and this means that anybody can go out and shoot black people. Well, wait a minute. Kyle was white. He shot three white guys that were trying to kill him. Okay? You know, self-defense. And they were white. By the way, take a look, too. When you go out there and look at the protests that are out there, now you take a look. They're in Chicago, Portland, Seattle, all lefty cities. Okay? And look at the protesters. Okay? They're not out there. They're not black. It's not the Black Lives Matter folks, and it never was the Black Lives Matter folks, okay, or not the black ones. It's the white ones, the instigators, the Antifa, the fascists, all those. It's unbelievable, okay? And they're trying to turn this into a racial thing, and it's not. You know, I mean, we had last week, thank goodness Jesse Jackson showed up at the Kenosha courthouse because everybody was wondering what Jesse Jackson was thinking. Not. We know what he was just looking for to shake down somebody else, okay? But the point is, and by the way, he's irrelevant. And so is, what's his name? Al Sharpton, okay? In this case, it was justice. It was somebody. Now, you could ask and you could argue. Okay, and my wife is like this. She goes, well, why was he out there with the AR in the first place? Okay, well, he was out there theoretically protecting, and as the story came out, and these people, Hollywood is weeping for the verdict. Okay, give me a break. Okay, all these, why do we care what Mark Ruffalo thinks or some has been actress or something like that? We don't care. And do they think they know more than the people on the jury who sat there for 2 weeks and listened to all the evidence and stuff? And by the way, they had to sit there too thinking, well, the evidence says this, but, you know, I'm afraid we might have riots or something. Well, thank God they did the right thing, okay? Because the evidence pointed to self-defense. The evidence, and by the way, the guy hitting him with a skateboard, the guy punching him in the face, the guy that got shot in the arm that was pointing his gun at him, that's called self-defense, okay? I want to say the jury was right, and that's one of the reasons you don't see a whole bunch of black people out there that are protesting, because they're not buying into this crap where they're trying to say, oh, he's a racist and it was a black anti-black thing. No, it wasn't. It was an anti-protest thing, and he was out there trying to. He, by the way, his father lived in Kenosha. Okay, they say, oh, he crossed state lines with a gun. Well, they didn't even have any gun charges for him because, you know what, it wasn't illegal for him to have the gun. Okay? Now, you may say, well, he was 17 years old and he couldn't buy it. Well, he couldn't buy it, but you can, just like in any state, you can have 16-year-olds that have firearms. They might have a rifle or even a pistol that was given to them. Okay? But they can't buy them, okay, because they assume that anybody who would give it to them would actually, from a gift standpoint, make sure that they know gun safety and has some training. So I did get a kick out of some memes out there. The memes, this is Jerry Nadler. Let's see, after Biden talked about the not guilty thing, then fat Jerry Nadler came out from the House Judiciary Committee and said, this heartbreaking verdict is a miscarriage of justice and sets a dangerous precedent which justifies federal review by the DOJ. Justice cannot tolerate armed persons crossing state lines looking for trouble while people engage in their First Amendment-protected protests. Really? The burning down, the looting, the throwing things, that's all First Amendment-protected protests? No, peaceful protests are. But even the ones in Portland last night had things being thrown at cops and stuff, and this certainly wasn't an anti-cop thing. Well, they were protesting the George Floyd thing. They're out there yelling, say his name, George Floyd, say his name. It had nothing to do with that. It's just, and then they also say, what is the guy's name, Jacob Blake? It was people out there protesting the killing of Jacob Blake. Jacob Blake wasn't killed. He was shot. He was paralyzed, but he wasn't killed. Get your story straight, folks in the media who are out there trying to pump up things. The nation braces for the verdict. You know what? 90% of the nation didn't care, didn't give a rat's ass about it. Okay? And the ones that did said, oh, okay, well, the jury found him innocent. Okay. Yeah, I guess justice was served. What about he shot three black guys? No, he didn't. They were three white guys. I mean, just listen to the narrative from the media. I am part of the media here. I'm trying to give it to you straight. Okay, so here's a meme. I love it. You know, they've got these little Android-looking faces sometimes, and then they also have them. They have like a triangle or an angle for a nose and a straight line and eyes, and they make expressions with them and stuff. Well, there's this woman, she's a doctor, Dr. Karen Baker, and she goes, if you're defending at Kyle Rittenhouse, I want you to think about the precedent you're setting. If you shoot one child rapist that was hitting you in the head with a skateboard, then you have to shoot every child rapist that's hitting you in the head with a skateboard. Keep that in mind. And down below it, the meme shows that guy with that android-like face, and then the guy that looks like a lumberjack, and he's whispering in his ear, he goes, your terms are acceptable. Yeah, you know, do you guys know that the guy that was hitting him with the skateboard had been charged 9 times with as a sexual pedophile? Oh, no, he's just out there protesting. He's a great guy. No, he wasn't. And the other guy that got killed was a habitual wife beater. Okay? No, just a great guy. He was a victim. No, he's a troublemaker and a felon. So I don't know. Then there's I'm going to put these up on my website, TriggerTalkRadio.com. And there's a picture of that prosecuting attorney pointing the gun at the jury and stuff, but they put Alec Baldwin's head behind it. It is so funny. It made me laugh. Anyway, I got a kick out of it. Let's see. So disarm them. Disarm. And by the way, they're carrying in the protests and stuff up in Portland, they're carrying signs around that say disarm and defund the police. What does that have to do with it? Has nothing to do with the Kenosha bit. I mean, if we had a mainstream media that actually paid attention to things and reported on things correctly, then you wouldn't have this narrative going out there. But, you know, it fits their narrative. Let's see. Now here's what I was going to talk about guns. This is a gun talk show. That's correct. And we'll continue this in the second part of the show. The gun review, and this is a gun that was called the Diamondback Sidekick. Okay. Now it's interesting because I looked at it and I said, this looks familiar. And I don't know if it was off the same tooling or what, but it is identical to the old High Standard Hombre that I've got and an old J.C. Higgins Ranger that I got that was made by High Standard. And what they are is they're a .22 that looks like a single-action revolver, okay, like an old Colt Peacemaker or something like that, like a Ruger Single Six. Like a Ruger Wrangler. And those are two of the other ones I want to talk about. But the point is that it looks like the old single action. And there's another couple of them out there. There's one that they've been pushing real hard called a Heritage Barkeep. And there's other Heritage Defenders and stuff that are all single action 22s. And those are being sold for like $119. You see them in the Dunham's ads and things like that. $119. And it's a great entry-level gun to be able to introduce somebody to plinking. Well, then you take a step up and you've got the Ruger Wrangler. And then you take a step up from that and some of the old ones, like the old High Standards and stuff like I got. But this is, it looks like a single action, but it actually is a double action 9-shot 22 with a swing out cylinder. It is a cool gun, and it's exactly like that High Standard that I have, that I like very much. And now it's a little pricier. It's like $290, maybe. I think, let me look and see what they say. And here's the other thing, is that it also comes with a .22 Magnum cylinder. Outstanding. Okay, so that in itself is worth, you know, some extra money. It's got about it's expected to be about $290 retail. It'll be even cheaper than that. It's got an MSRP of $320. But what's amazing is that it is, I mean, $290 is probably worth it. If you take a look at the Heritages for like $119 and the Wranglers for $175 to $190, this one being double action and a 9-shot is outstanding. And it's like $290. What a neat trend for these fun, plinking kind of guns. Now, they've got single action triggers, because even the double action Sidekick here, you can cock the hammer and still fire it single action. And so they are light enough that they're actually fairly accurate, although the sights tend to be, you know, those sights on those old guns are more like Minute of Bad Guy, okay? I mean, but it's good enough for hitting a tin can or a B8 target or something like that, that's, you know, a regular, like an 8-inch target or something. And it is cheap, because even though sometimes it's hard to find the rimfire, it still is reasonable compared to centerfire rounds for plinking and things like that. So I thought that was a neat trend out there, that these single action. And do you know when those first came out? Is in the 50s. That's about when, like 52 or something, is when the Ruger Single Six came out. And then they came out with the Black Hawk and some other ones. And it was kind of due to all the Westerns and stuff on TV. And people were really excited about seeing the old Western single action revolvers. And they were buying them in droves, okay? and they're doing it again. So that's pretty neat. We'll talk about that when we get back. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1692.7 FM. We'll see you in a minute.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back, and that is Paul Revere and the Raiders from 1966, by the way, which is one of my favorite bits of bumper music. And I really enjoy that, and actually, if you haven't listened, I know I've got the Saturday crowd listening right here, but and many of you I hear calling in occasionally during the week and talking to Theron during his show. But if you haven't listened to his show on Friday with the Alternative Bump Music Friday, you are really missing something. He plays sometimes the weirdest collection of always cool stuff. Some of it's like, God, I haven't heard that in 40 years, and I'm not sure I liked it back then, but I like it now. So it's kind of fun. And so I want to say there is a lot to listen to. It's fun to listen to the shows here on Wham during the week. We have a lot of syndicated hosts and stuff, but we also have local talent. And on the weekend, we have local talent. So it's always fun to listen to Ed from Ypsilanti, Ed Bondarenka and his show, and Richard Dieterling and Ed Hoffman and stuff like that. It's always fun. And Dave Janda on Sundays is fun. Oh, and Derek with his fine Speaking of Sports show. What's up for this week, Derek?
I'm going to be talking about the Michigan Wolverines men's basketball team and their two games they played this past week. They split both games, 1-1, lost one. Lost their rematch 32 years in the making with Seton Hall. That's who they beat in the 1989 NCAA championship game. Lost to Seton Hall by 2 points, but they regrouped and won by 13 last night against UNLV.
Okay, well, cool. That'll be a good show to listen to. So let's see, what else? Oh, I was going to talk about this today, too. Here is a state sticking to its guns. It actually it shows some of the companies are going to change their mind. I'll mention that a little later in the story. But J.P. Morgan, okay, which is one of the big financial companies that states work with and companies work with and stuff, they were blocked from a $7 million bond deal because of their anti-gun stance. Yes, that's right. What's happened is some of the states around the country, including Texas, and we'll talk about them in a minute, but Louisiana said, you know what, you companies out there that have these policies that you're not going to sell to, or you're not going to underwrite companies that manufacture ammunition or firearms, or especially those evil assault weapons and things like that. Well, you know what? Then you're not going to get to bid on our contracts, because if it's against something that's in the Constitution and you're prohibiting your company from doing it, then we're going to prohibit our state from doing business with you. So J.P. Morgan just lost a $700 million bond deal that they had been involved with before. But, you know, for this year, they said, nope, not going to do it, because if you don't retract some of your anti-Second Amendment stuff, then you don't get to even put in the bid. And to what the panel from Baton Rouge said, he goes, I'm not selling our Second Amendment rights to corporate America. Because you know all these companies were doing all this virtue signaling. I mean, by the way, I got a text this morning from Dick's Sporting Goods. Okay? Now, I have not shopped at Dick's. I won't shop at Dick's. Remember, they were the ones that came out and said, oh, we're anti modern sporting rifle, any AR-15, anti-assault weapon. We're not going to be carrying those. Matter of fact, we're going to destroy $5 million worth of them instead of sending them back to the manufacturer. So I said, well, I'm never buying anything from Dick's again. So I get a text from them this morning that says, Dick, one of our good customers. And then, of course, you go to delete it. Don't you hate that? All these, like, you get 150 text messages a day or emails that say things like, they're all trying to sell you something, especially if you're coming up on Medicare renewal and stuff like that. But then when you go to hit unsubscribe, it goes, okay, put in your email that this is from, and that will take you off the list. And it's like, you don't even know who, you know, you sent this email to you. I'm hitting the unsubscribe link, and I've got to tell you who you sent it to? Instead of it being, okay, we'll take you off the list. It's like, who is this? Because we just email it out to everybody, and we don't even know what list we bought. So I immediately deleted and unsubscribed from it. But so here is in advance of this bill that J.P. Morgan was given a chance to submit an answer to the query about, are you going to be supportive of Second Amendment rights? And they didn't respond. They wouldn't respond. So they were blocked from being in the deal. Now, it says losing that $700 million deal isn't going to put J.P. Morgan in the red, but Louisiana isn't the only state that's cracking down on doing business with anti-gun financial institutions. Texas, the Texas legislature passed a law earlier this year that also shut out anti-gun banks of the municipal bond market. And do you know what? It's working, because now they're out there bidding their municipal bonds again, and Citibank, who had been anti-gun, and we're not selling evil money to these evil gun manufacturers and stuff like that. Citibank came back and said, we're changing our policy. We're okay with selling to gun guys again. Please don't take us off the list. So you know what? It does make sense to boycott some of these things, because when a state starts blocking out businesses, major banks, Citibank or Citigroup, J.P. Morgan and Bank of America, and all these starts, then they start listening. Oh gosh, we don't want to have that happen. By the way, there seems to be a big switch in the way people are feeling about gun control and stuff. Uh-oh, we don't want to be on the wrong side of that, especially with all this evil Antifa and Black Lives Matter rioting and burning going on. People are like, maybe guns are okay. Well, then we better get back involved with this, okay? Let's see. A gun in a purse. We have got Theron. Hey, Theron, how are you doing?
Pretty good, man. I'm calling to give you an audio answer to your text. The toy drive is still on. It's going to be happening at Walmart on the 11th, and we'll be out there for 2 solid hours.
I know that is going to be a lot of fun. That is, I hadn't heard that that it was for sure that we were going to get Walmart again, but we're going to be back just like we
for sure. Your show's going to 2 hours. I think it's as of the 4th.
Well, yeah, I haven't told anybody yet, but that's good news then. Thank you for making that announcement on the air, Theron.
That means you're going to be paying me twice as much to do the show.
That's right.
Hey, shameless plug. Today, we're going to be out at, I just lost it here, we're in Onsted, Michigan, and it's a Let's Go Brandon rally. And people need to get out there. It's between 1 and 4 p.m. And I can't believe I can't find it on my messenger here. I just went over to another address. But yeah. Anyway.
I heard you talking about that this week. They called in and talked to you about it.
Yeah, and here's why it's important. Anybody that's out there near, Oxford, it's out by Clarkston. And anybody that can get out to this needs to get there. This is going to be... In fact, let me see if I can find it here.
Yeah, you better find it, because Onsted is actually out by Adrian.
No, it's up by where I'm thinking of is. You know what? Now I'm thoroughly confused. It's north of Clarkston up there.
Okay. Okay.
It might not be Onsted. It's in Croston Park or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. We'll find that out. Maybe Derek can search that out for us. And
look on the web, if you would, and give it a shameless plug. I'm speaking out there. Ortonville. Thank you. Ortonville.
Okay.
Ortonville. Thank you. Yeah, my good pal Beth is on the horn here, or texting me. It's in Ortonville. That's from 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad we clarified that, because Onsted's the other direction, so we want to be up in Ortonville.
Yeah, and one more thing, and that's from 1 to 4 today. Show up. Now, the other thing, this kid, Kyle Rittenhouse, I didn't hear the first part of your show. I'm sure you mentioned it.
Yep.
People need to internalize this. It was not about him. What this is they were laying the groundwork, and it blew up in their face, and they're just going to double down. This is about taking away our right to self-defense, armed self-defense. That's what this trial's been all about.
Absolutely, and that's why they're fighting so hard right now, because the narrative around it, they're talking about how Kyle shot three black guys, you know, and I mean, they're just lying about things.
They've not walked it back. Dude, this is Soviet Union 1956. There's no, it's straight, not even an analogy. It actually is. We are right now under the iron grip of Politburos, and Biden yesterday came out and said the logical, hey, the jury spoke, everything's cool. I mean, he didn't like it, but whatever. And I'm sure as soon as he turned around, he was tapped on the shoulder by Susan Rice and Valerie Jarrett and said, whoa, came back out and issued the next statement about how it was a horrible thing and it never should have gone that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Lies.
And you know, like if you read like Breitbart and WND and all those, which I know you do read all the consolidation things, they're saying how Hollywood is weeping and hundreds of Hollywood actors and actresses are complaining. And it's like, who cares? What makes them think we care about?
I'm thinking we need to get them more live pistols on the sets.
Yeah, more like Alec Baldwin with his. He's not going to say anything about guns. You can bet that.
No, we got to get him more live, real ammunition. Anyway, yeah, this is today. This rally is going to be a huge piece of what I'm talking about today. So well, get out there, everybody. Ortonville today, 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock,
and it's Let's Go Brandon rally.
Yeah, well, we know what that stands for. I'll be bringing that.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you later.
Thanks, Theron. Well, thanks. And I was going to, you know, in radio, a lot of times you don't tell everybody what's happening until it happens. And I was going to tell you on November 27th, next week, I was going to say, hey, big announcement on December 4th. But I'll tell you right now that beginning December 4th, Trigger Talk is going back to 2 hours. And so it'll be from 11 to 1, like it was all of the last couple of years, and that's going to be great. We're going to have a lot of fun. So Martha, put the coffee pot on, because Dick's show's going back to 2 hours, and we're going to be able to have more time to have fun and talk about lots of gun stuff. So anyway, that's the announcement. Thanks, Theron, for giving me the extra hour and for announcing it today. I appreciate it. So let's see. There was a gun in a purse fires in a Massachusetts Walmart, okay? And this woman was in line, and she was and you know what? I'm going to take this one right away. This is Mike from Long Island, one of our New York listeners. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Dick. How are you today? I haven't called in a while. I'm having a little adventure here. My wife and I are trying to move out of New York State and heading to Arizona. So we've been back and forth the last couple of months. But I've been listening, okay?
Do you know what? I'm going to have to start giving Arizona gun shows if you move out to Arizona then. So,
I called because I heard you talking about the Rittenhouse case.
Yeah.
And something that I heard just within, since the verdict, including Fat Jerry Nadler here from New York,
right,
is calling for the Department of Justice to prosecute this kid on federal civil rights charges, where they use the phrase that he, by shooting or killing these people, he denied them their civil rights.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's classic.
And it's something that this kid is going to be hounded. This is my opinion. Is going to be hounded probably for the next couple of years. By these crazies.
Yeah, you know, when the justice system does not go the way they want it to, they try to drum up something else to try to be vindictive to him, and that's exactly what Jerry Nadler's doing. And I got to say, what the hell is wrong with these people that keep voting in these? I want to say, and you shouldn't. I mean, I'm not any svelte kind of guy, but the big he's a big fat ass, okay? And all he does is. And all he does is be negative and jump on the bandwagon with negative stuff. So I'm hoping that some of these people get replaced.
Well, you know, Jerry Nadler is a congressman out of Manhattan, a district in Manhattan, and Manhattan is so ultra, ultra liberal. I mean, I live just outside of New York City proper, and it's liberal, but in the last election, just a couple of weeks ago, thank God, we voted out all the Democrats, okay?
Wow.
And so Long Island really had, it was like Virginia, actually. They really overturned all the, like, the county executives and the controllers, and that was just a terrific
election. Like New Jersey did with the president of their Senate, with the truck driver that won.
Exactly. But Nadler, Manhattan proper, is just, it's like crazy land. It really is. I mean, they're ultra-liberal. There's people, there's only two classes in Manhattan. It's like people on welfare and then people making, you know, exorbitant number amount of money as professionals, lawyers, doctors, and they all tend to be very, very liberal.
Yeah.
And union too. And I don't mind the union. I've been in unions and stuff, but you know, Manhattan is unique, and it's a what's the expression? Yeah, a unique kind of a creature. So they're going to be there. You're going to get ultra liberals like Jerry Nadler out of Manhattan, and mayors that are crazy also for New York City.
for
the next 100 years.
Yeah. Well, you got to tell us, keep us posted. If you end up going to one of the number one states for gun owners, is that why you selected Arizona?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Guns and Ammo publishes like annually, like the best 2A states in America, and Arizona is always like one or two.
Yeah, I know. I've got a bunch of friends out there, so I'll tell you what, you end up where you're looking at there, Scottsdale, Phoenix area.
Just south of Scottsdale.
Okay.
You know, it's a lovely area, and my wife and I kind of fell in love with that area, you know.
Yeah, well, we've been out there, and I've got friends that live out there, and they're active in the gun community. So you end up moving out there, I'll put you in touch with some of them.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
Yeah.
As we were planning this out, I already joined the Arizona, the AZCDL, which is their state organization. It's the NRA state organization.
Yeah. Well, that is really cool.
I already joined them.
Well, good luck to you. Keep us posted on it, Mike. I'm gonna miss calling you Mike from Long Island, but I will gladly call you Mike from Arizona if you call. So, okay.
Well, thank you, Dick, and I'll continue to listen. You know, it'll be another year probably, but it's getting close.
It'll be earlier in the morning, too. You'll have to get up and have your cup of coffee with me because you're 3 hours different out there, or two hours.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, thanks for call, Mike. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Dick.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, bye. Gosh, thank goodness for the internet that we've got people all over the country that, and I've gotten calls from guys from England and stuff like that before. So, it's kind of fun to be able to reach out and have a footprint. I do look to see, where I get all sorts of people that download, you know, there are thousands of you every week that download the podcast. So, that's, if you miss the show, remember you can go to triggertalkradio.com and go to the podcast. I've got them listed. I've got the first one I ever did, like back in 2011, up there too. And you know what? We're talking about gun control, assault weapons. Same thing. It doesn't change in 10 years now. So, and it's hard to believe it's been that long. I appreciate that Theron and Linda gave me an opportunity here. And I never forget, too, that when I, especially as I mentioned and Theron mentioned, I'm going back to 2 hours in December. I never forget that it was the lovely Linda who had the hour after mine. I used to love to have her come in and see her every week. And I'm so proud of being able to have that hour that she had. So thanks, Theron. I appreciate it. Let's see. So I was talking about a woman who she was standing in line, and she's digging through her purse looking for something, and boom, her Glock 17 goes off in her purse, okay? Well, I got to say, that's kind of a big purse gun, okay? And also, you need to make sure that you have the gun in a holster, okay? Well, she's not carrying it on her hip. Why does she need it in a holster? Well, you need it in a pocket holster. I'm wearing what's on my hip today. I got my LCP2 in my right front pocket and a spare mag in my left front pocket. But in that holster, it covers the trigger guard, okay? So I want to say it prevents me from accidentally shooting a hole in my leg, okay, which could be very bad if you hit the femoral artery, okay? So the thing is that... you always have to have a gun. If you carry one in a jacket pocket, have it in a pocket holster. You carry it in a pocket, if you even carry it in your waistband, like, you know, how many times do you see a show on a movie or a show and a guy's got a pistol tucked in his belt, okay, either behind his back or in his front belt, like in his appendix area, pointing at something that you don't want to shoot off, okay, I want to say. And so the thing is that you always want to have it in a holster to protect the trigger, especially something that has a striker-fired trigger that just takes a light pull and just small amount, not a overly long pull. So you can imagine this woman, she's standing in line and she's reaching in to get her checkbook or purse or something. And so there's could be a pen, could be a lipstick, could be a tampon holder, could be anything, but she pushed down on the gun. It apparently had gone through the trigger guard, and it pulled the trigger. Now, it didn't hurt anybody, didn't kill anybody. It was embarrassing, and they called the police, who dug the bullet out. A 31-year-old woman, and she mistakenly fired her 9mm handgun while digging through her purse at the cashier. In Massachusetts, by the way, okay? So I guess there are people that actually carry in Massachusetts. But the thing is that you have to be careful. And occasionally things happen. And by the way, even when you're using a holster, okay, there was an incident that happened recently. I won't tell you where. But it was a woman, she was putting a firearm back in her holster, and she must have had her finger on the trigger or whatever, because when she pushed in, it pushed it back, and it discharged, and it went into her leg, in and out of her leg, actually, but it didn't hit, again, thank God, the femoral artery, which would have bled her out in a minute or two, okay? So the thing is that... that is one of the most serious times that you have to be careful, is when you are reholstering your firearm, because you have to make sure that nothing is pushing anything that you don't want it to push, okay? So anyway, that's about all the time we got for today. The music's playing. I want to mention, remember, December 11th now, the word is out. We're going to have our 1600 toys for 1600 girls and boys remote at the Walmart in Saline, like we've done for so many years. We missed last year, and we're going to be back this year. And the show will be for 2 hours, because beginning December 4th, 2 weeks from now, the show will be back to a two-hour format from 11 to 1. So that'll be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully you'll all come out and see us, as we've always done in the past. And everybody have a nice Thanksgiving. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio at WHAM Talk 1600. I'll see you next week.